Okay, so let's have a look at this area of prophecy, and I just want to say that I'm not coming across as knowing all the answers. I'm just really seeking to understand this as much as anybody and everybody else. Let's go back to where Digby was in Acts chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, Peter got up and he began to preach, and he said, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." This is Joel prophesied 800 years prior to this, that there was a day coming when he foresaw the Holy Spirit being outpoured. And on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was all outpoured and the people began to be speaking in other tongues by the Spirit and so on, Peter got up and he said, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." Verse 16 of Acts 2, and then it says in verse 17, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall," what? "Prophesy." So here we're seeing that an evidence that we're Spirit-filled is our ability to prophesy. "Your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams." Yeah, you can tell your age. "And on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days." And notice, there is not a distinction between men and women here, which is another big negative thing in Christian circles around the world today. My observations in my travel is that Christian women get a raw deal. You know, but anyway, we're not going down that track tonight. He said, "On my maidservants I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The moon shall be turned into darkness and the blood moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, when I compared this portion of Scripture by going back to Joel 2, it's interesting that Peter puts double emphasis upon prophesying to what Joel did. Joel mentions it once. Peter mentions it twice. It's interesting. Peter is now filled with the Holy Spirit, and he's got a revelation that we're in this new day where the gift of prophecy is something that God has given to the church that is very important. Therefore, we should not neglect it. We should not, as it says in one of the epistles, despise it. And there's a lot of despising of the prophetic word and so on today. Now, let's just go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where we see that the gift of prophecy is one of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. Notice, this is Holy Spirit ministry. They get filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Now, for years, I thought on the day of Pentecost, they only spoke with tongues. But Peter says this is that. They were prophesying. And it says there that these people that were present that day, how hear we these men who are speaking in our language? The wonderful works of God. And so there was prophecy along with the speaking in tongues. Because the speaking of tongues normally is, people don't understand that. But I also know of people and experiences where people have never learned a natural language, yet in speaking in tongues have spoken that language. And people have been able to talk back to them. They talk back, but they don't understand, but the people that hear them do. Amazing. And so on. But we see here in verse 7 of chapter 12, or verse 1 I always like to start with, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be ignorant." You know, and I'm sorry to say, folks, but there is an appalling ignorance, generally speaking, in Christian circles with regards to spiritual gifts and the gift of prophecy. Why do I say that? Because it's a novelty to hear it in most circles today. In fact, it concerns me. In my travels around this country, I'm hearing of Pentecostal churches making announcements on Sunday that there are to be no gifts of the Spirit, no prophecies in this church.
Wow.
Well, what are they doing? They're just killing the life of the Spirit in their very midst. The very thing that God gave us to bring life and to help us to minister and to equip in the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, has been rejected. Well, that's crazy. But it comes because of ignorance. The Amplified Bible uses the word misinformation. And a lot of decisions are made in church life out of wrong information. People don't have their facts right. They don't understand the spiritual truths that the Word of God is presenting to us. And so, how are we going to get rid of ignorance? Get into the Word. Know what the Scriptures say. Because whatever God says will always be confirmed by the principle of Scripture. You agree with that?
Yeah.
In fact, we don't have any other means of confirming whether the voices that we are hearing is from God or not if we don't know the Scripture. Yeah.
I think one of the big things, and Derek Prince points this out in a set that I've got, is not so much ignorance but prejudice. Because you go to people that have their Bible knowledge and that all wrong, and you try to say to them, no, it says this, and they just won't listen. They just won't have it.
Mm-hmm.
They just won't have another point of view because their mind's already
there.
I actually heard Derek Prince say, don't confuse me with the facts, my mind is already made up, that is one thing you get.
There's a principle that I learnt. Ignorance breeds fear, and fear will always make people reject.
Yeah.
You know, so there can be, there's a combination of lots of things. There's no one single thing as to why people are not flowing in spiritual gifts. Okay? Down in verse 7, we're told the manifestation, that's the making know, or the exhibition of the Holy Spirit, the expression of the Holy Spirit through our lives, is given to each one for the profit of all. And then it goes on to tell us what that manifestation of the Holy Spirit is. And he names the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. The nine gifts of the Holy Spirit are the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is inside every Spirit-filled believer. And I'm simple enough to believe if the Holy Spirit's inside of me, then those nine gifts are inside of me too, because they're the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You understand what I'm saying? What we've got to discover is how to get the gifts from in here out there, so other people get the benefits. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But you see, the gifts of the Spirit, the gift of prophecy is a manifestation, a revealing to the people that God's in this midst. I mean, Revelation 19:10 tells us the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. When Jesus is in our midst, there should be a flow of prophecy where people are able to prophesy. So, let's try and understand what prophecy is, what prophesying is. And I've been thinking about this in this way. We are now Spirit-filled. So if we are filled with the Holy Spirit's desire is to manifest Himself through us. Because the Holy Spirit always glorifies Jesus, right? So the gift of prophecy should be a direct result of our personal relationship with Jesus. A love relationship that just has us so filled with Jesus that we just want to please Him. We want to do what He wants us to do. And so it's living in a place of being available to the Holy Spirit so that we can speak. Now, prophecy is simply us sharing the words that we sense the Holy Spirit saying to us at a given point in time. Now, there are three levels of prophecy, and we're talking about the general gift of prophecy tonight, where everybody can prophesy and everybody can speak words of exhortation, edification and comfort, which is what 1 Corinthians 14:3 tells us. The guidelines are of what the gift of prophecy is about. Then there is what I call the ministry of prophecy, where people have a ministry where they are prophesying more than the average Christian, and the depth, the spiritual content and that of that prophetic utterance is like it's in a deeper or higher level than the general gift of prophecy. And then the third realm, of course, is the ministry of a prophet. Somebody that God has gifted to really bring the word of the Lord into situations for individuals, churches, and so on like that. And it's not always a good place to, or calling to have. I mean, I know in my own situation where God has used me in that prophet ministry to churches, I do not recall once churches listening. In fact, you know, they finish up doing exactly the opposite, and then you have to watch that church disintegrate because they didn't listen to God. You see, this is why it's so important. Another reason why the gifts of the Spirit flowing in our midst are so important is because when gifts are flowing, it raises the discernment level amongst the people. One of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is the gift of discerning of spirits. You see, and so where these gifts are not happening, where prophecy is not allowed to flow, the discernment level in church life and that goes low. What's the result of that? Wrong decisions. Wrong people put in wrong positions. And all of those things rob that church of going forth in the vibrancy and the life of the Holy Spirit. And you know, often a wrong decision can take years to work through and come right again. In many cases it never does, because people are scattered. And they never, I don't know of any church where all the people that's been scattered all come back together again, do you? And so on. So, you know, these gifts are very important. So the gift of prophecy is our listening to God and speaking forth what I call a now word from the heart of Jesus to the people. When you prophesy in the general realm, it's not a word of knowledge, although words of knowledge can be included in these things, but you are speaking out a message that's for everybody. And I trust tonight that you'll prophesy here so we can see an actual demonstration, so that when somebody prophesies, we can all listen, we can all say, yes Lord, that's for me. And we can take it on board and gain the benefits from it. You hear what I'm saying? And so, how important is prophecy? Let's go to chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, the very first verse. This is a challenge. Pursue love. That's the theme of chapter 13 that is before it. And desire spiritual gifts, which is the theme of chapter 12. And but especially, he says, that you may prophesy. Here is the Bible giving us a focus for our desire and for our love, so that we, motivated by love and stirred by a strong desire to be available and being useful to God, we step out and we start to prophesy. And we prophesy that which we are sensing the Spirit of God is speaking to us. Within the framework, as it says there in verse 3, he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort. All of those words are building up words, strengthening words. See, I've come to realize this. Every one of us needs encouragement. Now, there is encouragement just by me saying, okay, Mark and Coral, I just really want to bless you and say, hey, it's great to know you and all of that, and speak encouragement like that. But there's another kind of encouragement that comes by the Spirit and through the spiritual gifts and through prophecy. That's another realm. Because when the gifts of the Spirit and the gift of prophecy are functioning correctly, we are speaking or ministering Holy Spirit to Spirit directly to people. And that's an eternal realm. That's not just a passing thing. When we are used by the Holy Spirit to prophesy, something can be sown into our spirits that will hold us right through time into eternity. Because the Holy Spirit is an eternal spirit, right? And so, here we have got a very important gift. Notice the Bible terminology. We are to pursue love. That means go after it. Desire in the Bible is a very strong word that basically means crave. I don't see too many Christians craving after spiritual gifts. And then we're given a focus. Desire, pursuing, desiring, focus, prophesying. Okay, go for prophesying. And start prophesying, because this is what the Bible tells us to do. And then from there, the other gifts can start to operate as well. Amen? Now here's an interesting one, verse 4. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church, the people of God. It doesn't stop now. I trust most of us here, if not all of us, can speak in tongues. It's the spirit language, and we need to use it. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, I want to encourage you. Seek the Holy Spirit. Get filled with the Holy Spirit. It's life transforming. Amen? Look at verse 5. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. Now here's the Bible putting an emphasis on a gift that so many people despise. Sad, eh? Rather that we prophesy, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets. That the church, or the Christian, because the church is another name for Christian, may be, or receive, edification. Spiritual building up. So we have a very, I was going to say simple, it is a simple gift, but important gift that God has given to us to be able to spiritually build one another up. See, to me, I believe that the spiritual gifts and the fivefold ministry gifts that you read about in Ephesians 4, they are the keys to bringing Christians to maturity. We can't come to maturity without them. The question is, where are they today? Amen? I think it's very sad. I mean, I've been around in ministry for 56 years or something, and I have been in numbers of countries and all sorts of different churches and so on like that. And I think it's sad today, it's almost got to the point where the only fivefold ministry gift recognized is a pastor.
Amen.
You know, and the tragedy is that that's the only one that a church gives a salary to, and so you've got people like evangelists and that trying to pastor, and they don't make good pastors. They don't have the patience that the pastoral gift has to have, and so on. And for prophets and apostles, well, you know, if you start to call yourself one of those, they think you're in naughty land, and so on. And it's tragic. Let me say right here that these fivefold ministries are not a title, they're a function. They're a ministry. And the church desperately needs, the whole church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. That's Ephesians 2:20. So we see here that we are told to focus on prophesying. Amen? We read in Acts, Philip had four daughters that prophesied. And you read about different ones that happened through the book of Acts, where the prophets began to prophesy and so on. And in the early church, they had such a high regard for the prophetic ministry. And one of Acts chapter 13, I think it is, you know, where the prophets began to prophesy, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the ministry that I've called them to. And straight away, those two men were released to go and do what the prophecy was saying. They didn't take months in endless committee and elders meetings trying to work out whether these two were suitable or not, whether the prophecy was right or wrong. They knew. They had a witness. They valued the prophetic word. If you go to 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul says to Timothy as he's launching him into ministry, don't you neglect, don't you forget the prophetic words that have been spoken over your life, because by those prophecies you're able to wage a good warfare, fight the fight of faith, and have a good conscience toward God. Well, do we need those things today?
Yes.
This is what the gift of prophecy enables us to do. You see, when you know the prophetic word of God in your life, which reveals the will of God or confirms the will of God into your life, then you learn to know what to say yes to and what to say no to. You see, if you know the will of God for your life, then when the enemy comes against you and tries to talk you out of what God's talked you into, you can say, get behind me, Satan, get away. I know God hasn't called me to that. You'd be surprised, folks, at how many pastors around the world are trying to get gospel faith messenger involved in ministries that God hasn't called us to do. And I can say no, because I know God hasn't called us to do that. Had one just yesterday. Pastor in India wrote, I want to start the Bible college for GFM in India. I wrote back and said, God hasn't called us to start Bible colleges. Sorry, mate, we're not committed to those things. You hear what I'm saying? But you see, if we don't know what the will of God is for our life, then we can be talked out of things. And the end result is that we finish up, I nearly said naughty land, but we're in no man's land, because we're not sure about what God's called us to do. See, I know for my life and calling, I had it confirmed many times by prophecies that God was calling us into the ministry that we're in today. At the time that those prophecies were given, we couldn't see it always. We weren't there yet. But today, I'm living in the fulfillment. Some of you have heard this many times, it comes to me now. I was at a pastor's conference in New Plymouth, and I went to the meeting this day a bit early, and as I walked into the big, it was the big AOG church up there in New Plymouth, walked in a bit early, and I said to the Lord, Lord, I'd love you to talk to me today. And I got the surprise of my life, because God talked straight back to me and said, if you want me to talk to you today, I want you to go and sit over there in the meeting. Now this is an 850 seat auditorium. So I go and sit over there, and I'm over there all by myself. When all the pastors and their wives come in, they sit over the other side. There's about 350 of them, and I'm sitting over there, sticking out like a wart on the end of your nose, you know. And as I'm sitting there, some of my friends came over and said, Rodney, come and sit with us. I said, no thanks, I think I'll just stay here. And they start to apply pressure. Ugh. Too high and mighty are we to come and sit with us, and put pressure on me to go and sit with them over with the crowd. Well, I stuck to my guns, and by the time the meeting started, there must have been about five or six people scattered over the side where I was, and the rest of the 350 were on the other side of the auditorium. Well, the speaker that morning was Peter Morrow. Some of you know Peter. And he got up and started to preach, and hardly been preaching long, and he said, pointed me out and he said, "Rodney, stand up." Well, I wasn't hard to find. Maybe God had me sit over there for Pete's sake, I don't know. But anyway, I stand up and Pete starts prophesying to me. I can still hear those words today. He said, "Son, God has not finished with you yet. I'm telling you, the day is coming when you will go up and down the length and breadth of this nation preaching the word of the Lord into the nations of the world." And my friends and that sort of laughed and didn't think much about it. But it's happened.
Yeah.
And I've, don't know, we must have been to 40 countries. Some of them. Fiji, I've been about 30 times. Other countries, 10 times, 5 times, and so on. And I've seen the fulfillment of that prophecy. Now, when the moment came for me to step out into this full-time itinerant ministry, my fellow pastors and peers, as soon as they heard about it, told me I was mad. This was not God. You need to stay pastoring churches. And God had to speak to me in a way that we just knew. God wanted us to step out and live this faith life. And we stepped into the fulfillment of Peter's prophecy. You know, and it's very interesting. The last 16 years, I've kind of observed from the sideline those that try to stop us. And basically, their ministries haven't gone anywhere. But here we are today, touching people in over 205 nations around the world. You see, I believe in the prophetic word. Our first overseas trip, Jean and I were called out of a conference meeting by a prophet guy from America who prophesied over us that we were going to the Fiji Islands. And he said, "God's sign to you that you're going to the Fiji Islands is that you will step foot in those islands before the end of this year." Mm-hmm. That's exactly what happened. We got there, I think, on the 29th of December. That was still this year. And that opened the door for us. We stayed over in Fiji for 6 months, and God really taught us some faith principles there that have just helped the ministry to just springboard more and more into this faith life and so on. And so I can speak about personal prophecies to me that have come to pass and have really established us in the calling of God. Now, I believe this is what the prophecies are about, especially the more mature and prophetic ministry giftings. But that doesn't mean to say that in you or me giving what I call a general gift of prophecy, allowing that to flow, God can take that and speak to individuals and confirm things that he's been saying and so on. Amen?
One question, Peter.
What's that?
You talked about Peter Morrow. How do people get to that level of being able to prophesy specific words and pull people out of meetings and all that
stuff? The key to it has got to be recognizing the voice of God.
He's the one that really walked close to God. He spent hours, you know, just in prayer and seeking the Lord's face. Didn't he,
Rodney? You were with him at one stage, weren't you?
He invited me to a meal one day. And when we got to the mouth, he said, "Oh, I'm fasting today. What would you like to eat?"
Did that make you feel guilty? It's interesting because, you know, this has been my experience over the years, is that if the need is there, God can use you, say, as a prophet. But that may not be your main gifting. You may be in a position where God uses you as an apostle. An apostle is a ministry gift that pioneers something new in God. Or you may be an evangelist, but you're not. That's not your main gifting kind of thing. I've experienced over the years fivefold ministry operating in my life, not all at the same time, and so on. But how do you know that? I was reminded. I was in Birmingham in England, and I stood this couple up. I didn't know who they were or anything, and I just said to them, pointed to them, and I just said, the Holy Spirit is showing me that you are going to be missionaries in Africa one day. Well, after the meeting, they came up and let me know in no uncertain terms that I was up the creek and that wasn't true and so on. And just being visiting, I disappeared off to the next town and so on. Never knew anything further till about 3 years ago, I get an email from Mozambique from this family apologizing and then saying that they thought they were better write and tell me that my word was right, that they were now missionaries in Mozambique. I think it was Mozambique or Madagascar, one of those countries, and that the word of the Lord had come to pass in their life. You know, and that's just so wonderful and encouraging. I've told the story of Elaine Roberts many times, that Elaine was a Jamaican lady but born in England, and she was just sitting in the church that we were running a school of the Holy Spirit in Northampton in England, and I remember God giving me a word for this lady, giving me words that I don't normally speak, and it was like this: tell her she is incubating something. Now, I wouldn't use that word normally, and as I was just meditating and getting the timing right in that, the Holy Spirit just said to me, tell her the incubation period is almost over and that I am going to release her into a prophetic evangelistic ministry. I spoke that out, and 11 months later, Elaine stepped out full time into a prophetic evangelistic ministry, and she touches thousands of people today. And it's just amazing what's happening through her ministry. In fact, she's written the foreword in my little book, God's Supernatural Call, and writes about it there, and so on.
He had a contact with a man by the name of Dick Mills.
Who?
Dick Mills.
Yes, I've heard of him.
And he was in there. He would prophesy using words of scripture.
Yes.
And he was accurate and he could pull this out of a meeting. I find it interesting to know. Also, he talked about pulling people out of a meeting. Have a light on them or something to make them.
Well, this is where we've got to learn, you know, in a meeting we've got to learn to use our spiritual eyes, have our spiritual ears open and your heart open. Now, for me, often, and you might notice it when I'm speaking, just making eye contact with people. And often, I'll just make eye contact with somebody and next thing there's a quickening in there and you just suddenly know something about that person. And so that's how it starts for me. And then I'll just meditate and look for the right time to give it. Because often when you get it, the person that you're going to speak to, their mind's not even in the meeting, you know. They're worried about the kids at home or what they've got to do tomorrow. And so you've got to minister and build faith in that and bring people to a point where they're ready to receive it. That's what Paul did in one of that, you know, with that man there, a cripple, and when he perceived he had faith to be healed, he said, get up and walk. And he got up and walked, you see. And this is about learning the ways of the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit's in us now. What did Jesus say? He will lead and guide you into all truth. He will testify of me. He will show you things to come. And, you know, it's amazing. It hasn't happened so much in recent times, but a few years ago, God gave me several words for pretty leading public figures in different countries, you know, as high as deputy prime ministers and stuff, and would say to me, now go and tell them this word. And you know, I'd go with my knees knocking and things like that, but every time, not one of them refused me, not one of them knocked me back. In fact, some of them would fall down on their knees and grab me by the ankles and go, thank you, thank you. It's just what I needed to hear today. You know, and it was just like the God appointments. But it's learning to be led by the Holy Spirit. You see, and I believe that this is what I've learned about exercising spiritual gifts. Exercising spiritual gifts have helped me to recognize the voice of God more clearly in my life. There are many advantages beside actual delivering the gift that we benefit from. You see, every time we step out in obedience to the Holy Spirit, we're actually untying His hands to set our future up for us. We think in terms of a gift, it's just a one-way deal. We're just a delivery boy and it's the person on the receiving end that gets all the gifts. But hey, no, there's a blessing of God every time we obey God. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
And so, stepping out. I guesstimate now, but there's over 100 people in full-time ministry around the world as a direct result of me prophesying to them. Amen? But tonight we're trying to stick with the general gift of prophecy, so it's not, you don't have to know who the gift is for, because it's for everybody.
Yeah.
It's about, so why? Why is prophecy important? How does it function? Well, right now, every one of us in this room, if we love Jesus, we're filled with the Holy Spirit, then within our heart we say, Lord, look, I love you, I'm available. If you want to speak through me tonight to these lovely people, I'm available. So you put yourself in a position to be usable. Don't sit there and say, you'll never get me saying anything tonight. I'm not going to take any risks. Leave it to Rodney to make a fool of himself. No? I hear this around the world in Christian circles after I do a teaching, something like this. People come up to me afterwards and say, well, if God wants me to prophesy, He knows where I am. But what a stupid attitude. The whole teaching of Scripture regarding the exercising of spiritual gifts puts the onus on us to desire earnestly the best gifts. Those words, desire earnestly, are very strong language if you go back to the original Greek. It's a craving. It's a giving yourself to spiritual gifts, and you don't give up until you know you can flow in these gifts. You know, it's a really going after and possessing and then allowing those gifts to flow through your life. Listen, spiritual gifts are God's idea.
Yes.
Not mine. God never gives us anything we don't need. True? And He says here we are to pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. This should be a top priority in each of our lives. Now, let's go to verse 12. This is another one. This blew my mind when I first realized it and began to look at the original meanings and stuff. Even so you, since you are zealous or desirous, craving for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Here we're told about the motivation for spiritual gifts. And breaking it down from its original meaning is this. We should be pursuing spiritual gifts to be operating our lives so that we will be the best in the church at it. Now that's not a pride statement. But you just think, if everybody, even in this room, were so desirous to be the best at exercising spiritual gifts, just imagine the level of spirituality, the needs, the answers to prayer, and all things that would be happening as people were tuned into the Holy Spirit and available to step out. Amen? I've been thinking about this lately. Folks, we've got to become more God-conscious than self-conscious. If we're really motivated by love, you don't have to be worried about making mistakes, because love never sets itself out to knock people down or to condemn them or anything like that. Love builds up. And when we're motivated by love, we only want the utmost good to be done in other people's lives. Amen? And so in our desire to be the gift, best at spiritual gifts, the desire is that we are wanting to build the people up, every one of us, building people up to a place of maturity. And I tell you, the more people are built up in that place of maturity, the greater the manifestation of the Spirit of God we will see in our midst. We should be challenged about this. I know I am. Well, I mean, we're, it's almost like we're just playing with the Bible. I have never in over 55 years ever yet heard a sermon or a pastor encourages people to be the best at spiritual gifts in the church. Have you? But that's what that verse is speaking about. You see, to do that, you've got to know the value of spiritual gifts. And as you look at those gifts, word of wisdom. Boy, do we need Holy Spirit wisdom? Sure we do. Word of knowledge. Do we need Holy Spirit knowledge? Sure we do. Discerning of spirits. Do we need Holy Spirit discernment? We surely do. Prophecy, what's that? The now Rhema word of God coming to the people. Do we need that? Yes, we do. What's the others? Tongues and interpretation. We're under the inspiration of the Spirit. We are speaking Godward, exalting the Lord in the Spirit that raises the faith level in a meeting. When that interpretation comes, it's exalting the name of the Lord. Then there's the gift of healing. Do we need gifts of healing? Yes. Man alive. I mean, the world's spending billions of dollars trying to cure sicknesses, and yet the world is as sick as it's ever been. The Christian church is full of sick people. We're missing something, folks. Then there's the gift of faith, where God drops a word in your heart that gives you faith to believe for things that you can't normally believe for. Amen?
Yes.
Many of you have heard Ross Monk's testimonies of gift of faith operating in his life. And I mean, it's just incredible, amazing things that's happened. Then there's the working of miracles. I tell you, this generation right now will never be convinced of the truth of Jesus simply by us telling them to pray harder or read their Bible more. You might have got away with that in my day when we were young, because most people had some form of godly upbringing. Even non-Christian homes tended to send their kids to Sunday school, and they got a bit of a Christian foundation. But today it's not there. People are absolutely ignorant. I just read today, Massey University is banning a church in Palmerston North from going on the university campus, because these zealous Christians are going on there telling the students if they don't believe in Jesus, they're going to hell. So they banned them, you know, and that sort of thing. But you watch, this is just the point of the tip. As there's an antichrist spirit at work in the world. And I tell you what, it's going to take supernatural signs, wonders and miracles to convince an unbelieving, ungodly world that Jesus is alive today. And you know what? Jesus chose you and me to do it. Aren't you privileged? Aren't you privileged? Nine beautiful gifts. No wonder we're told in Timothy, stir up the gift of God that's within you. Who stirs it up? We do. Amen? I've got to stir it up in me. You've got to stir it up in you. Now, while we're in 1 Corinthians 14, go over to verse 31. For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. So when the gift of prophecy is in operation, people are learning. They're being instructed. We are gaining heavenly information. And the result of that is spiritual encouragement. Wow, what a privilege, folks. What a privilege that we have to be mouthpieces of the Lord. Because a prophecy is something that's spoken out. You don't just stand up with your mouth shut and after a couple of minutes say, that was a word from the Lord. I didn't hear nothing. Faith comes by what?
Hearing.
Hearing, and hearing by the what?
Word of God.
What's that word there? Rhema. Present tense, now word. Faith comes through the prophetic ministry. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's stir up this gift. Amen. I think I've said enough. But it's important gifting. I want you right now, let's all of us just ask the Holy Spirit, give us a prophecy. Now, when you speak out a prophecy, this is not a word of knowledge for an individual. This is just speaking out what you're sensing the Holy Spirit saying to you for everyone here. Amen? And then when you speak it out, you do your part. Our part is to receive it and say, yes, Lord, I claim that. I accept it in my life. Amen? So let's just wait upon the Lord for a few minutes. And if you've got a prophecy, begin to speak it out. Now, it doesn't have to be a yay, verily, King James language dialogue. But just use the language the Holy Spirit's given you to speak it out. And listen, folks, if you've never prophesied before, don't switch off right now. It's time to break through. It's time to let the Holy Spirit speak to you. I think I've shared enough scriptures that make it very clear from the scriptural point of view that spirit-filled believers prophesy. It's one of the three evidences of being filled with the Spirit. You shall receive power, you will speak with other tongues, you shall prophesy. Three key evidences of being filled with the Holy Spirit. So let's stir that gift. Let's earnestly desire, because of our love for one another, we want to encourage one another by the Spirit. And let's see and let's listen to what the Lord will say to us tonight, now. Let's just wait upon Him and make yourself available. Earnestly desire. Seek to be the best. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Holy Spirit, just break through all fears and doubts, self-consciousness. Lord, excuses, reasonings.
I'm getting the Lord saying that you should spread to the east and to the west, and I don't know what that means, but that's what He was saying to me. You should spread to the east and the west. I don't know what that means to who or what, I don't know.
Okay, as far as the east is from the west, so shall your sins be removed from you.
Maybe, I don't know what that means, but...
Okay, but no, speak it out. You don't always have to know what it means, you're just a delivery person.
Yeah, while Rodney's been speaking, I keep getting a word that there are clouds gathering. It's like storm clouds. And I asked the Lord, and He said that there's a time of tribulation, there's a time of difficulty coming, but He will always be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. To trust in Him and listen to His voice, and He will get you through.
You are here tonight because the Lord brought you there. He wants you to know that you are the person He wants to prophesy through. And He wants to bless other people. If you are willing, God is willing.
Yes. Yes. Come, praise the Lord. Come unto me. You that are thirsty, come. Learn of me, says the Lord. I love you and I will give you rest.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
When you talk about the rising from the east to the west, I was thinking, arise and shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen on you. And as I sat thinking about that, I thought the sun rises in the east and goes to the west. So there's no blotting out of that sun. The rising, it's the glory is on us. We're going to shine like lights. It's not going to be clouded out, you know.
Amen. Preach it, sister. Someone else.
The lilies of the valley are opening.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm.
Yes. Praise God.
I don't know what it meant, but I will pour water out into the dry, parched land.
Yes.
I don't know what that, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, Rodney, when I first got that, when I felt like the Lord was saying, "Thus saith the Lord, you shall spread to the east and the west." The immediate scripture that came to mind, I forgot to say, was about strengthening the tent poles. What is it? I'm slipping my mind. What's that one about you shall
break forth on the right?
No, it's in Isaiah. That's the one. That's what was coming to me. So it might be something to do with that.
Yep. That's good. Well, I think we all realise that we need to be stretched to grow, you know, and that's what prophecy does. It helps to stretch us, to grow us, to challenge us, to step out more in the Lord. Anyone else got one?
I had a vision of imagining that as children of God, we're sitting on God's sandals, and He is just putting His hands on our shoulders and pouring out His love through His hands onto us, and saying that we need to be humble as little children, and that He just wants to love on all of us here, and and the main message is love. Love.
Yep. Praise the Lord.
Prophecy.
Hang on, Big B, I'm coming.
Prophecy is a doorway. I want you to step through this doorway, because there's so much beyond this that you haven't even conceived of.
Yes.
And God wants to do things through you that you would not believe though a man told you. He's going to use you in all manner of gifting.
Yes.
But prophecy is the doorway. So step through that and believe God for what He has for you.
Yes. Praise the Lord.
Whoever comes to me, I will accept. I will accept. I will love. I will never, never, never turn you away. So come. Come to me.
Yes. He said, look, I've got the door open for you to walk through, says the Lord. Come. Walk through this door.
Hallelujah.
I just got a real sense that to fix our eyes straight on the Lord's eyes, to not look at our circumstances. And it was like, you know, when you start walking on a mountain path and it becomes like scree, you know, it all starts falling away under your feet. That even when you feel like that's happening, you keep your eyes straight on the Lord, and all of a sudden you find you're walking in midair and you're doing things that you never thought were possible. But because you fixed your eyes on Him and you're not looking at the circumstances, all of a sudden you're walking where you thought you'd never walk.
Yes. Someone else? Things can happen in prophesying, folks. I was just reminded when Jean and I were up in Prestatyn in North Wales, speaking at the Elam conference up there. I was given what we call a graveyard shift in the afternoon, this big tent. And there was about 30 people turned up to the first meeting. And I think in the second meeting, God spoke to me and said, release the people to prophesy. So I did. I spoke it out. I said, I now release you to prophesy. And people started to prophesy. Well, by the fourth meeting, that tent was packed to the gunwales with two rows of people standing all around that tent. The spirit of prophecy released. People must have been talking, and they just come flocking into those meetings because people started to prophesy. Mm. And you've heard the testimony many times because it's so amazing. In Vanuatu, in 4 days, as a result of a young lady prophesying for the first time in her life, we saw 40% of the whole area come to Jesus Christ in 4 days. I mean, it was just, oh, amazing. So there's something that's released through prophesying. And that's why, you know, the Bible gives emphasis to us. It's the door opener. Spiritual gifts are door openers, folks. They will open doors of opportunity for you that you cannot open naturally. And that's why we need to be available and open, Holy Spirit. Here I am, wholly available. Not this, here I am, Lord, send my sister.
I was quickly got this, drop what you're doing and follow me. And that's what he said to the fishermen, you know, basically, you know,
yeah.
They thought, you know, follow me. So God's saying, drop what you're doing and follow me.
Yes. Yes, praise the Lord.
I saw many fishes on the shore. That's all I saw.
Amen. Because it's the Lord's will that there will be a great end time harvest.
You've got to catch them.
You might have the hook and the bait that will do it. You don't know. This is what I say to people. You don't know that the next person you give a prophetic word to may be the next Billy Graham. We don't know that right now. But God can take nobodies and use them to change other nobodies into somebodies. He's got to have people to work through. He's chosen. We then as workers together with Christ. He's chosen us to work with us. But it works when we work with him. Doesn't it?
How do you get past a fellowship where they often expect just the leaders to be doing the prophetic? They don't. Seeing people are saying, oh, they've got it, they know how to do it, and people don't find it.
Yeah, and again, that's a mindset that's become very prevalent in church life today, and a lot of it is simply because leaders don't trust the people to hear from God, and it's a form of control. Now, I can understand how some of these things have come about, because there are some prophetic people who do make fools of themselves, and churches feel, the leaders feel that they've got to safeguard their people and so on. But if they're robbing the whole congregation from the receiving of these gifts and that, well then they're reacting wrongly. The thing is, if leaders would teach the people the guidelines and the safeties and make room. You see, one of the things I notice about the current program mentality that is in churches, it does not allow room or time for the Holy Spirit, which means the thing is controlled from go to woe, but it's religious, it's not Holy Spirit, you see. And so there are just as many needs in churches today as outside the churches in many regards. And that's very sad, because the Word of God tells us we're part of the answer. We shouldn't be the problem. God wants to use ordinary people like you and me to bring about. So what's God saying to you through these prophecies tonight? Are you receiving anything? Or are you just saying, that was nice, I forgot what they said?
My Holy Spirit lives within the lives of each one of us.
Yes.
He says to us to listen to the voice of his Holy Spirit and be obedient to what the Holy Spirit is telling you to do, that you may bring glory to the Father's name, and that you may strengthen the brethren. Even in this age in which we live, we need to be encouraged. We need to hear God leading us day by day and calling us to walk in his paths and to bring courage and strength to others. Thank you, Arlene.
Yes, hallelujah.
What I've got is that it says that we're to stir up the gifts within us, and how is by praying in tongues, because it builds us up. And the thing that comes to me is that
as we pray, keep praying in tongues, it's like the door that will open to the other gifts, and that the spiritual gifts are to edify the church. The praying in tongues edifies us, builds us up in love, and then when we are built up in love and faith and trust, then we start to operate in the other gifts. And I think we have to pray through until we're actually moving into the other gifts.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
And
that
God wouldn't use us, I think that's one of the things that came out from
hearing
that He's calling us, individually, every one of us.
Yeah, that's the word that I feel is coming to me tonight, that these things have been given by the Lord to draw us closer to Himself, to build us up, to make us more aware of the purpose and calling of God for our lives, individually, as well as collectively. And know that my hand is upon you, says the Lord, so that you can respond to my hand and that you can rise and do my bidding. I have yet much for you to do. There is so much more. Do not think that I have passed you by. This is just the beginning, as it were, says your God. Trust me. Place your hand firmly in my hand. Come walk with me and I will show you what I can do for you and with you and in you and through you. For I have chosen you, I've called you by name to come and follow me and to be my witnesses in the earth today, says your God. Do not shrink back. Do not say, I can't. But know that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Hallelujah. Come, walk with me. You'll get a whole new education. It's true. I don't know, but it's concerning me that so much of the scriptures today is just totally ignored. And it should concern us, folks. We should be right in the forefront of what God is doing and being available. And people say, well, no one else is prophesying. It shouldn't stop you. No one else is moving in the gifts of the Spirit. That shouldn't stop you. There are discreet ways of doing some of these things, folks. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to speak through us. Because when the Holy Spirit's speaking through you, other people are getting answers, confirmations, direction, encouragement, hope, faith, and prepared for their future. I'll come round. Hallelujah. If anyone else is getting some words, we don't want to miss you out because it's important to get sharing.
It's just an encouragement from what you're saying is, and that's especially for those who feel blocked or shut down, like you're saying, or can't operate. I often get this song that God brings to me is, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. The Holy Spirit is an active person and He's always looking for a way in. He's always looking for an outlet. Yes. And so don't accept no for an answer, and don't accept where you're at as that's it. Because yep. God will find you either a way out of there or a way that He can express Himself through you somehow. He just won't allow you to sit dormant. He'll want you to go somewhere where you will be able to operate.
Absolutely.
So be responsive to that.
Yes.
That's what I've always found. You know, I've even been criticised by people say, "Oh, you're just looking for an outlet." Well, of course. Exactly. What's wrong with that?
True. They're entitled to their opinions. That's not there to become your problem. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. You're an idiot. Anyone else? Huh? Oh.
It's to call unto me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not.
Yep. Jeremiah 33:3. That's God's telephone number. JER333. Hallelujah. You see, when the gift of prophecy starts to flow like this, God's speaking truth through the body to us. There's nothing about you've had it, you've failed, I'm no longer interested in you, but it's all, come on, you can do it. Get up and go again. Arise, shine, your light's come. It's all the time speaking spiritual edification into us. And let's face it, folks, we need that. Every one of us needs to be encouraged. How much better if we can do it by the Spirit? So the Holy Spirit can speak to us and, you know, you can go out of this place tonight and say, oh, I'm so glad I was there. I knew I needed to be there because the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And I know the direction more clearly that I'm to go in, and that helps me to make better decisions and things like that, because I know I'm chosen of God. Now that's the truth. It's not a pride statement. We've been chosen of God so that we can do the works of God in our world today. And the world desperately needs us. You mightn't think so, but he does. It does. It really does. There's always somebody out there. And I was in at the bank the other day, and the teller opens up to me and says, wow, I don't know what's going on around this place, but the last 2 weeks the abuse we've copped at this counter from the customers, it's shocking. In fact, the temporary staff think this is an awful place. Just in the last couple of weeks I went from there out to the fish shop, and he opens up to me and he says, I don't know what's going on around this place, but the last 2 weeks customers have been barreling me out and telling me all sorts of stuff. He says, it's terrible. Is the place under attack? Or is it because the Christians are asleep? No? Well, you know what the scripture said, while men slept, the thief come and sow tears amongst the weak. That's discouraging. It also means more work, sorting out the weak from the chaff, and so on. But we need the prophetic words, folks. It really helps us. Not only to be encouraged ourselves, but when we're being used of God to speak prophecies into other people's lives and into congregations and stuff, we are imparting spirit to spirit. We are imparting life into people. Amen? Oh, I think I've shared this before, but I'll just share this. Comes to me now. I was at a leadership training camp up at Forest Lakes some years ago, and it was 7:15 at night when the national hierarchy of the Ila movement that we were a part of came in and said, Rodney, you're on tonight, the visiting speaker's sick. 7:15, the meeting started 7:30. You're preaching. Well, I went to my bunk room and I buried my head in the pillow and I cried out to God. I said, God, what do you want me to do tonight? And I had an experience I've never had before or since. My head was buried in the pillow, and yet in the spirit God opened up the meeting and showed me what was going to happen in that meeting that had not yet started. And he showed me what I would do in that meeting. And he showed me prophesying over people and what would happen when I prophesied over people. And so then he said, I want you to tell the people before you do it what's going to happen. Crunch. I didn't want to, but anyway I did, and you could tell by the look, there's old Francis up the pole again and that sort of stuff. But anyway, I started to speak, and just exactly what I saw in vision form before that meeting, he even showed me where everybody was sitting in the meeting. It was amazing. and I knew I was going to start over here with a guy there, and then I was going to go down the back and prophesy over a pastor, and then a pastor sitting there would get up and go and prophesy over that pastor after I prophesied over him. And just cutting a long story short, I prophesied over 19 people, just like God showed me in the vision. I came back to carry on preaching, and then something happened that he didn't show me in the vision. I was preaching, and this never happened before, and I swung around and I pointed my finger at a pastor and I said, "You, sir, your time's up in your church." And old Sanhedrin hierarchy of the movement was sitting there saying, "What's this joker up to now?" And then I swung around to a young guy that had never been in ministry and I said, "You are going to take his place." Wow, you know, that didn't go down too well in the movement and so on. But you know, exactly 9 months later, that pastor resigned from that church and that young guy became the pastor. And the young guy that became the pastor is today pioneering a new church up in Auckland, a prophetic church. And it's just good what's happening. And so, you know, you don't know. Sometimes these things happen spontaneously. Sometimes God gives you prior knowledge. In other words, you see what's going to happen, or you see yourself doing or saying something before the time comes. I've had words for people up to 2 weeks beforehand or something before I've been able to share them sometimes. The thing is, you just got to wait upon it until the right moment comes. And you step out and be obedient, and there's always somebody waiting on the other side of your obedience. Your obedience and my obedience to the Holy Spirit usually brings forth a testimony of what the Lord has done. You see, when we're working together with the Lord, things can happen that can happen no other way. And we should know by now that God and one are a majority. And you and I should be that one. If God be for you, who can be against us? Sure, there's enemies. Sure, there's opposition. And sure, it most likely will get worse before we're through. But it seems to me God's going to have to use persecution to sharpen the church. To make Christians stand up and be counted. Are we on the Lord's side or are we not? We can't stand with our legs in two camps forever. We're going to have to make a decision one way or the other. And God wants people who are totally committed, listening to the Holy Spirit and saying, "Here I am, Lord, use me, send me, whatever you want of me, I'm available." God uses those kind of people. Don't think it's all going to be peaches and ice cream. There will be opposition. But I tell you what, use it as a stepping stone and not a stumbling block to take you on into greater things in God. We have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. This is our day. We are not misfits. This is our day, our generation, to see the glory of the Lord revealed. And where is it revealed? Through his people. Through you and me. Amen. And if your prophecy doesn't happen straight away, don't give up. You have done your part as the delivery boy or girl. Leave it to God, but you will hear. Sometime later, people will come back to you and say, "Do you remember?" No. "You said this, and it's happened. Thank you." Pursue spiritual gifts. Desire them. Focus on them. Let God use us by his Spirit to bring revelation to the hearts of other people, because we're listening and obedient to the Master's bidding. Amen? It's challenging. I don't know. I'd like to get some feedback. Maybe we need to do some more discussion about this area. But this whole realm, I mean, the spiritual gifts, we could go through a night on each one of the gifts. And they're all different. But they're there. And we need to pursue them. Go after them. Not for our sake, but that other people will get the best advantages in God because we are available for God to use us. Amen? What a challenge, but what a privilege. Amen? To think that God so believes in you and in me that he handpicked us. A bunch of rejects. And he said, come follow me. It's true. He said he didn't choose the high and mighty. He chose the lowly, the poor, that he might use us to display his glory and handiwork. Amen.